She's out there. You're the Florida version of Sex in the City, JD.
That's when I was smoking my cigar.
Don't be an asshole today. So what are you drinking there? What do you got?
Well, I don't know why I haven't done this before. I've got rock and roll mango flavored tequila.
Okay.
Actually, I know why I haven't done this before, because I didn't want to open the bottle, but then why do you have it, right? Judy gave this to me, so I thought this was appropriate for today because Tyler's on the show.
Excellent.
As a housewarming gift, Judy and Terry.
That's beautiful. So,
I've never seen
a bottle of vodka in the shape of a guitar.
Yeah, isn't that great? It's actually tequila, and it's platinum triple distilled rock and roll tequila.
Nice. Oh man, they're the best friends.
Awesome.
Are you just drinking it on ice?
Yes, I'm just drinking it on ice. It's actually clearer. The bottle is more. It's not as yellow as the bottle. Yeah.
No, that's cool. So, I have, we went fruity. We all went fruity. I have watermelon lime vodka.
How refreshing.
Yeah, by J.J. Whitley, Family Distillery.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I just have that with, I'm hitting it with a little club soda.
Is that bottle like a crackly kind of? I couldn't see it. Does it look like a crackly kind of glass?
It's actually, yeah. It's got like little swirly.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Cool.
But I thought I've been on like a watermelon kick. I bought watermelon popsicles. I have watermelon chunks in my grocery order. I got some watermelon chunks. So I'm just like, I was gonna make like watermelon, you know, vodka and like frozen watermelon in the blender, but now the temperatures are dropping. It's like 58 outside right now.
Are you kidding me?
I swear to God, I'm freezing. I'm so excited that I don't have to have the fan blown on the side of my face like the whole time. So
yeah. 2 weeks ago you had three fans going and Rosie upstairs. Yeah.
So today was that kind of day where you know things are changing. You know, like the sun was blaring at certain points of the day, and then really fast, like a cloud would roll over, dump some serious rain, like enough to make my cat go behind the couch. They're not even bothered with fireworks. So like that's how loud it was. That's how much rain we got. And then that would blow over and the sun would come out again. So all day long today, I shit you not, from the time I got up, that's all I did was open the windows, close the windows, open the blinds, close the blinds, open the windows, close the windows, open the just run around opening the skylights and then closing them again, and then opening the windows and closing them again and pulling down the blinds. I was like, oh my God, I'm wiped out. Like
We had that same weather. Oh. I mean, we had like claps of thunder. That was we went outside to check on the guys working in the yard, and my sister is always worried about them, like they're all her sons or something out there, you know. I'm like, I think they'll be okay. I have to check on them. I hope they're okay. We had that kind of weather.
Yeah, my mom's been saying it's been finally. Like every time I talk to her, she goes, the lake is so low behind my house. It's like beachfront. Like you can't even believe it. And then she'll turn her phone around and like show me. But now it's been like raining so much that it's like kind of filling back up again. So I was texting a little bit with Donna today, and we were saying how difficult it is, like schooling your parents, you know. Like all of a sudden the tables are turned and you're like, you can't do that. You know,
right?
Like, you can't do that. True. You have to, and the more information you give them, the more they like fight back. And I said, I was like all of a sudden, my mother has like the social calendar of a 21-year-old, you know, that's coming in and staying with her in St. Augustine, and she's going to the casino. And I'm like, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for a text one day that says, I'm going to a kegger in the woods. Don't wait up. You know what I mean? Like, this is my mom. I can't. It's insane trying to keep her down. You know what I mean? Like, God. You
get a message. Can I have a sleepover at Susie's house?
Right? We're all going to a kegger in the woods. It's a fiver.
Oh, wow. That's good, though. It's nice she's back out because.
Yeah. But so I got to keep like reminding her that things aren't back to normal, like 100%. Mm-hmm. You got to tone it down a little bit, you know?
Right. No, but, I get it.
Things are normal for us because we've got Tyler.
Exactly. Well, Tyler, everything's better with a mixologist in the house.
Yeah.
Especially Tyler. Is he here?
Yeah,
is
he just popped in the green room. Let's go in.
He texted me. He had to get another ingredient he missed. He had to go run out to the store. There he is.
I feel like we should all be doing like the Brady Bunch thing. Like
we should.
Yeah.
Who's where? JD's down there.
Oh, it's so good to see your little face.
It is great to see you all. How are you doing this fine day?
We're good. We're classing shit up around here, Tyler. Wait till you see what JD's drinking.
Ooh, what you got, JD?
Well, I have this actually compliments of your mom and dad. Impressive. This was a housewarming gift when I moved into my apartment. Ooh. It's rock and roll mango flavored tequila. Ooh. And it's the whole guitar.
That's awesome.
So cool.
And I have been waiting to open it, and I opened it in honor of you being on the show today. And it's actually, this is the color. This bottle is a little colored. It's actually clear. It's a clear tequila. But you can see the color is actually in the top, in the headstock.
That is awesome.
Amazing. I forgot to say that part. It's a mango. I'm not much of a tequila person, but it is amazing. It's delicious. It's turning me around.
Oh, good.
I don't have anything nearly as ceremonial as that, but I am going for a summertime watermelon lime vodka.
There we go.
With just a little club soda, because I'm eating that way.
Good.
Very summery and refreshing.
I got to tell you, Jay, the other night when we had Vicky on the show and I was drinking I had a chocolate biscuit salted caramel porter beer, right? And I was drinking salted caramel rum. So when we finished the show, I was slightly hammered. I didn't realize that the ABV on that beer was like 9%.
There it is.
Yeah. Like, wow. Yeah. And you were right. I should have, because like, I kept saying it's a little bit bitter for me. Like all those things I thought was going to make it, you know, smooth. And but it was like it was a little punchy. And Jay goes, just put the rum in it. And I was like, I don't think so. But that's what I ended up doing, because I didn't want to dump the rest of the beer out. So I put it in a glass and I poured the rest of the rum in it.
Oh, wow.
I was mildly tanked before bed.
Nice.
We try to be mini mixologists, Tyler.
Yes.
I usually fail miserably at it, but I try. JD's
flavor palette is like.
I know. I don't think into it too much before I start mixing. But.
Oh,
that's fine. Well, success is just the culmination of many failures. So once you get through enough of the trials, and you'll make one fantastic one, and you'll think you've got it, and then you'll make another 100 horrible ones and wonder what happened. And that's menu development.
So how are things in Memphis? What's going on in Memphis these days?
So I have not spent a lot of time in Memphis in the last month or so. So I know I had my Vegas trip, and then I just did a like 14-day road trip out west through New Mexico, Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado, Kansas, Missouri. Kind of just did like a whole all the way through the whole little like kind of mid-southwest area.
Was that a classic Route 66 or no?
It does follow a pretty strong portion of Route 66, which is funny. I didn't realize that. And then you start seeing the roadside attractions like Cadillac Ranch, where somebody just buried a bunch of Cadillacs halfway in the dirt, and all these little stopovers and the, you know, the best steak in Texas and the biggest this and the biggest pistachio and all of these things. So
oh, just had a grand old time.
Yes.
I hope you got a picture of that.
I was going to say, it sounds like the song, Route 6, like the lyrics to the song as you were describing the places you went to.
It was great.
Cool, that sounds like a cool trip.
Yeah, saw a little ghost town that was on the actual Route 66. Like one, so you exit I-40 kind of right before New Mexico. And then, you know, 400 yards to the left of I-40 is the ground of, or is the road of Route 66. And just a little town that used to be a Route 66 stop that isn't anymore. So the,
it's a ghost town. Yeah, I think I saw some chefs. They're called the Hairy Bikers over here. They have like long hair and they ride those motorcycles with the handlebars that are like, you know, way down here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they actually went over to America and they did a little Route 66 thing, and they went to all the Greasy Spoons and diners to find the best burgers.
Oh, yeah.
And they talked about the town that was no more.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I forget what the name was. It was something. So I was with my girlfriend Emily, and she was just, as I was driving, just like dropping pins on the map of interesting things and being like, pull off here, pull off there, pull off here.
Cool. So, yeah, that's the way to do it. Just a spontaneous adventure. Right. Yeah.
So it was fantastic. And we just had a great grand old time, and then spent about 4 days near Steamboat Springs, Colorado, in a ranch house with her family, and just, you know, did the whole shebang.
That's great. How did you get time off of work from three jobs?
Very carefully.
Fancy coordination.
Yes. Used a good portion of vacation, but it was very well used.
Okay, good for you.
Beautiful country. Again, I'd never driven west before, and it was time to do it. And I understand why it was such a big thing. Like, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Every couple hours, the scenery changes into a whole new world, and you're just like, just staring at everything. It was awesome. Got to see actual tumbleweed. There is a picture of that.
Okay.
There's a picture of me holding a tumbleweed. Cactus growing in the wild. They were small, but real cactus. That was always funny. I was like, wait, what? Wait, oh, that's a real one.
Ouch.
It's not just on somebody's shelf.
Nice.
You know, there's so much to see in this country. We forget that, you know, because we all want to come abroad. We all want to go to Europe.
The good news is
right now,
as of today, you don't have to quarantine now if you're fully vaxxed.
Okay.
I was just going to ask you that because I feel like I can't come there yet, but
no, they just did it on the BBC News that fully vaccinated travelers from Europe or the US do not have to quarantine.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's maybe I can get my mother over here.
That's awesome.
I was
I'll
so
come do my little tour. I'm going to come do the pub tour there now.
there's only three on my high street. That's pretty much the only ones I know.
Play on the street. I'll be a street performer in London.
Yeah. It's just called a busker.
There's a name for that.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna get a busker. I'm gonna get a busker for on this show.
Yes.
There you go.
I love that term, busker.
I'm gonna get Faye Bagley. She is a professional busker. I'm gonna get her. She's ragey, she's angsty, she stands on the street corner playing her guitar. Yeah, I'm totally gonna get her.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I hear that you've got some ingredients for something, Tyler.
Yes. So I will say that the Marlene is not out of the picture yet, but with
the Marlene road trip,
but with this road trip, I had to delay it because
that's fine.
Sure. Was traveling through the states and just picking up little pieces of this and pieces of that, and you know, just as I traveled and saw these things and tasted these things and went to different restaurants, went to a beautiful restaurant called Saison in Santa Fe, that is just exquisite. Chef is from Mexico City originally, does a lot of very kind of traditional dishes, but definitely amped up and just done to the extreme. They you know, got to have tacos with fried grasshoppers as the as like the filling. Yeah. I mean, just amazing stuff. And then the mole.
Not crickets. Grasshoppers.
Small grasshoppers. Okay. Yes, not crickets though. They were definitely longer and leaner. But yeah,
it was very adventurous.
Yes, but it's also a place where you're very comfortable and definitely trust the food. They won a James Beard Award and some other things, so just fantastic. But went there and they did this tasting, and it's just a mole tasting. So you get this plate that just has all of these different moles on it from various locales, styles, you know, all of this, and just really just enjoyed some of the deep flavors of that. Once you start getting into New Mexico, chilies are a huge deal. Red and green chilies. We traveled to a place called Chimayo. It's a little town that has this, you know, very famous like chapel that, you know, supposedly has blessed dirt. And in that area, they grow something called a Chimayo pepper. And that's the only place in the world where it grows. Oh, wow. So brought some of that back. When I was in Colorado, found out that Colorado is doing a bunch of its own kind of like grain and distilling. Absolutely not. Colorado does its own distilling though. So they use their own grains to do that. So there's a lot of local liquors in the region, which was very cool. So with all of that travel, you know, went to a really cool liquor store in a city called Taos, New Mexico, that's kind of hippie arts-esque. It was very, very cool. Definitely a good time.
That's that's where Julia Roberts lives.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I bought a fossil while I was there. So it's like this big and it has a little tiny fish fossil in it, but you know, did some fun things there. But they had one of my favorite, just kind of, I guess, Amaros would be a useful term. And after all of this, I couldn't not make a drink using all of it.
Okay. So we have a Midwest drink coming on.
Yes. So we have a Southwestern road trip inspired drink that I am calling one from the road.
Excellent.
Love it. Instead of one for the road.
Yes, this is going to be one from the road. So it's going to be a handful of things, inspirations and ingredients brought back.
See what you did there.
Yes. So, you know, you were talking about all of your classy drinks, and I was not quite classy enough. So I was just drinking kind of a cocktail in a cup.
Oh, perfect.
It's something a friend of mine made for me last night, and I had had too many, so I just put it in a to-go cup and brought it with me and left it in the fridge. So when I got back from work, I just popped it out of the fridge. So
perfect.
It tastes okay. There's a little bit of the paper cup flavoring in it. But,
that's what makes
paper cup bottoming out.
But we're going there. Perfect. So on that note, I think it's time to declass it a little bit. And let's go ahead and build us a cocktail.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm excited. Woo!
So starting with the base, this is going to be kind of an old-fashioned build, but I'm going to shake it because I need some emulsification. We'll talk about that with the ingredients and why they work and why I think this is a really fun cocktail to drink.
I love
but just this is a Woody Creek Distilling bourbon. It's a bourbon that I found in Colorado that a couple of the bars had that was very good. It is a true bourbon, so it's got the grain build, it's been aged for 4 years, all the really fun things. And it's really light and smooth. So in and of itself, it's a very easy kind of like drinking whiskey. Not quite sipping. It wasn't potent enough to be like, oh, I need to sip this, but it truly has some good strong flavor to it. And I felt like it was gonna, when I tasted, I was like, this is a really good background to build other strong flavors with.
Perfect.
So just going to go 2 ounces of the old Woody Creek. And I am going to shake this drink and you'll see why in a second. Just because there's going to be a lot of potent flavors going in here, I'm going to use a full 1/2 ounce of Demerara sugar syrup. So again, that's more of a brown sugar syrup. It's going to have a little bit more of that robust kind of baking-esque flavor to it.
Already I'm liking it.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
And then we're going to, instead of adding, you know, your kind of standard bitters or anything, we're going to use this product here called Underberg.
Okay.
And it is a German Amaro, usually as a digestif, that is really, really popular in a couple of the service industry scenes that I've been in. and they're relatively hard to get. They're imported, you can get them, but a lot of distributors don't have them. So they're really like, people will buy them by the case when they find them. And this is one of the ones that we
made,
found.
You said it's made by Bundaberg?
Underberg.
Underberg, okay.
Underberg. It's a German Amaro. So, you know, a German bitter. And they come in these little perfectly sized bottles that at the end of dinner, you just down them together as friends and cheers. And but they're hard to find in the States. Just because a lot of people don't demand them. So a lot of distributors don't care. This is about the only size it comes in. It comes in a little box of 20. So whenever you find them,
it's doable.
So whenever you find them, you buy all of them. So when I was in Taos, I saw that they had a case of it. So I bought a case of it. And they run for like 89 cents a piece or something. So
yeah,
they're just really fun. So just to add that kind of, they've got a bitter, a little bit of kind of like, in all honesty, like an astringent, rooty flavor to them. Kind of like root beer with like less sugar and
sarsaparilla.
Really, really potent. Yeah. But they're really good. They're really fun. And I find that I use it a lot in cocktails where people might use a Fernet that also has that kind of bitter astringent element. This just has a little bit more of a sarsaparilla-esque taste.
Yeah.
So I've kind of built my base there. So I'm going to have my bitter, I'm going to have my sugar, I'm going to have my bourbon and spirit. So now I'm going to start adding some of my flavor ingredients. So again, talking about moles. Came home, and this is what I had to run and grab. Came home, and we had some amazing, just dark cocoa powder.
Oh.
I was making cocktails with it and all of that, and then was looking for it today to do this, and it turns out it was actually our friends, and they took it home with them once they came over another time. So I had to run and grab that, and for these very specific measurements, I don't know if it's going to read well. It's probably too bright, but we're going to use 2 tads.
We got these
measurement spoons that are tad, smidge, pinch.
Perfect. That's awesome.
So 2 tads, which is going to be about
I said an eensy and a weensy.
Yes. So we're going to use 2 tads of cocoa powder, which is going to be about roughly a half teaspoon from what I've seen. And then this is just the gold of the trip. This is sun-dried chamayo powder. My Roomba's yelling at me. Hold on, it's hungry. Oh, almost there. Okay, now that it's told me it's hungry again, I can get on. So this is the chamayo pepper. So it's sun-dried and then ground up. This is how they sell it in these little just
snack bags. Yeah.
So this is a quarter pound of pepper. And the flavor profile is amazing. It's like you take paprika, a little bit of kind of like red jalapeno, like the kind of aroma of that, and then you mix it with like yellow tomatoes, like when you get sun gold tomatoes. Oh, I mean, yeah. Just robust flavor. Not too smoky. Again, this is going to be sun dried instead of baked, so there's not really but it has a natural hint of kind of that like earthiness. And then the best description that we read about the heat is that the heat is like a welcome house guest. So okay. It comes on very slowly and then stays for the perfect amount of time.
Excellent.
So it really does. It's not super hot. Description. But yeah, so we're going to do 2 tads of the finely ground chamayo pepper. At home, you could kind of do a combination between a little bit of paprika and then just a hint of cayenne.
So that's why you have to shake it.
Yes.
Okay.
Because both of these ingredients, if you do them right, are very fine powders. I wouldn't suggest this with something grainy. I wouldn't suggest this with any sort of like, even when you start getting into like anything you're grinding. So I wouldn't do this with like ground pepper. I wouldn't do this particularly with any sort of spices or seasoning generally. But because these are so finely ground, you can kind of see it's already melding nicely. And when I made this cocktail for the first time, I was, you know, just trying myself, and I don't mind getting weird textures or weird kind of scenarios and just going through it. But, you know, whenever you think about it for anybody who you're going to serve to, you want to, you know, keep
that
in mind.
That's an amazing color though.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, like, and it truly, the, it,
yeah,
it
the
truly
brown
is this beautiful, like just unique color that you're not going to see in a lot of cocktails.
Right. Right.
No.
So I'm going to take that bill. Gonna shake it up. So
nice.
We need some shaking music for this.
Yes. we should put some Muzak on.
Right.
Some elevator music. Just. And then for this one, I am going to serve it rocks glass, round cube.
Oh, nice.
And it does. It comes out this beautiful reddish brown, kind of, you know, very earthy color.
Yeah. Like New Mexican soil.
Yeah. It truly, it's just a beautiful, wow, like, just off clay color. And then another thing that I brought back, I got some sun-dried red chilies while I was also in New Mexico. So for the garnish, just tie the whole trip together. Just let it rest,
man,
on there.
And that's not going to blow your brain. Like, that's not going to blow you out, right?
Nope. It's not going to be super spicy. It's very, very aromatic. Again, using the cacao powder, just raw like that, just a little bit of it. At the back end, you start getting this nice kind of chocolate finish.
Oh, that's so cool.
You know, I had some very nice, like, chili mocha espressos and things while I was out there as well that kind of got me comfortable with it. It is going to be a very kind of that pepper chili.
But it's chocolate combo. But the demerara sugar is, you know, that's kind of what keeps it calm, right? Okay.
Exactly. And yeah, and this definitely needs demerara. It needs something that's going to stand up to all that stuff. Just use something. Yeah. It just kind of tastes sweet at the back end. It doesn't really marry as well. You get some good. And what I like about this is with those powdered ingredients, it's got a mouthfeel. It really does. It's almost like.
Yeah.
It's almost like a nice, I keep thinking like if you did like a matcha drink or kind of a, you know, sometimes you get those like perfect milkshakes that come through the straw.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like very, very, very kind of like creamy from that aspect, but it is, it gives it a nice little like velvety mouthfeel.
That's cool.
That's definitely there, but it's not like gritty. It's not in your teeth or any of that.
Right.
And it's just fantastic. So
here's
one from the road.
Amazing.
That's beautiful. Excellent.
Well done.
That is awesome. So does it taste super spicy?
Not at all. So again, really mild pepper. That's why if you're making it at home, since shumai is only grown in one place and is relatively hard to get, think of a paprika type
situation. Okay.
The cocktail as a whole has an almost kind of bright peppery, not spicy, but that kind of pepper vegetal that you get, almost like you were kind of a caprese.
So
it's got a little bit of that kind of texture, a little bit of that kind of like balsamic taste to it. It just
really,
really earthy. Again, definitely would count this as a like after dinner drink.
Amazing
at the end of the meal. If I wasn't going to do dessert,
I love how inspired that was by your trip. It's just like, it's like your vacation in a glass.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes. No.
So did you have anything like this on the trip, or this was your total like concept?
So
everything you experienced.
This was my total concept. I had a lot of tequila drinks on the trip. That area has really good access to tequilas and mezcals, and just from a distribution standpoint, they had a lot of options. So I made sure that I just explored tequila and mezcal while I was there, because it was so readily available. And, you know, they had a huge selection everywhere that we went.
Mezcal is pretty big right now, too.
Yes.
That's making its way around the circuit, isn't it?
Yes. And that's something just as a heads up, a little bit of, you know, insider advice. Get it now, because you know, if people thought scotch got expensive because of the supply, mezcal is impossible to keep up with.
And I see a lot of the local drinks with it.
Yes. And a lot of the like regional agave distillates, I mean, you're waiting 7 to 15 years for the plant to reflower and to be harvestable. So, I mean, dispatch now when it's gone, you're not going to find the same thing again for a long time. So keeping up with demand is going to be a really big struggle for that industry.
That's really interesting. I was saying how certain things just explode on the scene, like, so to speak, like the flavored vodkas a couple, you know, years ago. Now, then there was the pink gins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And absinthe was another big thing, right? And now the mezcal. It's like every time I follow this one amazing mixologist from Italy. Mm-hmm. I can't understand anything that she writes. Because I have to do the translation thing on Instagram.
Yeah, what is her name? I know, I put you on the spot.
I know.
You'll have to let me know because I'm always.
I will definitely let you know because she's so cool, like all tatted up, funky, cool haircut. But I found that's one I did, and I follow like advanced mixology and, you know, a couple of those. And I noticed that like all of a sudden they're all using mezcal, and I'm like, well, that's the new thing now then, you know? So yeah, it's funny that you say that it's going to be in short supply. Holy crap.
Yes. I can't
wait to see what's going to be next, you know?
I'm so impressed that you create these drinks, these cocktails from so many different, like you wouldn't think that'd be in a drink, like all everything mm-hmm. you incorporated into this cocktail. And it's like almost like creating the perfect meal.
Yes.
You know, it's like to think about, like, that's like, to me, that's such a talent, like that's such a creative talent. And yet you understand all of the reasons why those flavors go well together, which makes you and me, just me. Ice is one of my main ingredients in my drinks. Yes. Ice counts as one of my ingredients.
Ice is a very important ingredient.
It's kind of true though, like how certain things work together. I just watched this thing on Netflix, and I think it's old, but I just found it. It's called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Yes.
Right?
Great book. Fantastic book.
What was her name? Samin Nosrat that wrote it, does the Netflix show.
Okay. I didn't know about that Netflix show, so I'm excited.
It's so cool. It's like she explains the reasons why you need those four things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how, you know, Italians, how they've incorporated fat in just about anything.
Yes.
You know, and tells you the reasons why. And then also with the acid, like how that works, and each episode is regional, so you know, she talks about fat while she's traveling through Italy, and then she talks about acid when she's traveling through the Yucatan, you know.
Yes.
So it's just, it really is like absolutely amazing when she explains it to you. It's so logical.
Yeah.
It's
so amazingly logical. Like it's just like, oh my God, it's really changed the way I like approach what I'm cooking now. Like I saw her take sea salt flakes and put it on vanilla ice cream, and I'm like, bam.
Yes.
You know? It changed salty the thing. And sweet.
It brings out the flavor.
Yes.
Yeah.
You think about that, Tyler, right? I mean, when you're thinking of what you're gonna create, you put all of that into your thought process of
absolutely creating. When you're developing a cocktail, we joke when doing menu development that like, oh, this cocktail, it's perfectly balanced. It's also boring, but it's perfectly balanced. Like there's it's like, you know, so to have something in perfect balance, and what you're really looking for a lot of times in cocktails is you're looking for the balance between when we say heat, we really mean how boozy is it. So where are you on your boozy scale? And then you want to balance the dryness. So how sweet is it? So if it's super sweet, we'll say it's fat. If it's super unsweet, we'll say it's a little thin. You can say dry, but that's usually when you're building the mouthfeel, you're sitting there.
Yeah.
Then you play the acid component. And that acid component, whether it's going to be citrus, whether it's going to be whatever's in your bitters, anything like that, you know, even the sugar that you use and the alcohol you use has an acidic or basic nature to it. And you want to get those things in balance first. So my favorite thing is get a bottle of just white rum, get some lime juice, preferably fresh juiced. Obviously, I have to say that because it's better, but whatever lime juice you can find, and then just some simple syrup. So just some sugar and water, just everything basically clear. And generally you do about 2 ounces of rum, 1 ounce of lime juice, 3/4 of an ounce of simple syrup. And that's going to be like a perfectly balanced daiquiri. Try it before it's chilled, because that's that heat element now. Now we're going the opposite way, but the heat. And then when you shake it, try it at different points in the shake. So you're not making a drink. You're literally shaking for a couple shakes, pour some out. Shake for some more shakes, pour some out. Shake for some more shakes, pour some out. Shake for some more, pour them out. And then try just that. And you'll be able to see where those things balance from a temperature standpoint. Then put more lime juice. Put less lime juice. The daiquiri has so little going on with so few ingredients that if they're in perfect balance, it tastes amazing. And if they're not, you notice really quickly. And you know which one. Yeah. And that's what makes it fun is you can tell really quickly, oh, there's too much booze, or oh, there's too much citrus. Oh, there's too much sugar, like really, really quickly. And that's a beautiful, beautiful example of just the daiquiri experiment.
That's amazing that, you know, it's just absolutely incredible how all that stuff works together. And it always has.
Yeah.
But it's just now that, you know, mixologists are, are bringing that to the forefront and creating things that just are off the wall, you know?
And I think it's fun that it's now getting to the point where some of those trade secrets are being shared.
Yeah.
The people who are really good, they always knew.
Yeah.
It wasn't accidental. When you get some of these amazing bar programs that have stood the test of generations, they knew what they were doing. They just weren't documenting it the same way.
Right.
Where they weren't sharing it, or their manuals were in code, or they made sure that only employees had the manual, or it was only, you know, chained to the deal. All of the
thing too is that, like, a lot of people are, you know, definitely not because of the pandemic, but I think a lot of people are just more interested in it and doing these creative things at home, you know, and it's a little hard to get your hands on certain things.
Yes.
You know, like that's
like Jamayo pepper.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it's bitters. Like, I have a hard time finding bitters anywhere.
Okay.
You know, because we don't just have liquor stores here. Like every store sells liquor. Your grocery store sells it. Your mini marts sell it. It's not like an exclusive store where it's just got like wall to wall different boozes. So it feels really limited, you know, as to what you can go out and get your hands on. So then I'm reading these ingredients and all these cool like mixology pages. And I'm like, nope. Can't find that. Never find that. Never heard of that. Never, you know. So yeah, it's, if you're interested in it, I think it's like, you can really deep dive into
start,
you know, I don't have enough space in my house for all the stuff that I want to try, you know.
Absolutely.
It's got to be a one in, one out rule, and we just don't drink that much. That's where we're at with wine, you know, like one in, one out, man. Like, don't bring another bottle of wine in until we finish the one that we've got. With the booze thing, that's why I like buying the little ones too.
Yes.
Because you can, you know, those are easy to store. Those are, you know, those, I've got space for those. And, you know, once you open them, you got to finish them. So,
yes.
Airplane bottles. I love them.
So will one from the road make it on the menu where you're working right now?
Oh, not with that special chili stuff, man.
It will not with the special chili powder. We are doing a full
revamp.
Yeah, but we are doing a full revamp. And we're going to have, like, our summer menu was, we all admit, a little too summery. They're like all juicy sweet. Yeah, they're all juicy sweet, like porch pounders. There's not really, we got excited, but we will admit there's not too much depth on the menu. So we're being much more strategic this time around. So
is this at the Great Canary or at Eight and Sand?
This will be at Eight and Sand.
Okay, cool.
So one of the things though that you highlighted, JD, that's really something that I've fallen into and fallen in love with is the idea of the savory cocktail. The meal in a glass.
I love that.
Pickleback, man. The pickleback. So, I still dream of that thing, man.
Yes.
The pickle one, man.
So things like that. So that's really so the kind of, you know, I think it would be fun to do a chili cocoa inspired, just because I had so much fun with it and just it was really there. It wasn't, you know, just a stereotype or anything like that.
It's like such a thing. I mean, chili chocolate now, you know, like everywhere you go, you can find chili chocolate. It's amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was there. I mean, everywhere you went, there was actually chilies and people actually talked about them. And it, you know, it's one of those like, sometimes you're like, is it like just the tourism movie thing? Like you go to Florida, not really anyone cares about Mickey Mouse. Like,
yeah,
come on, you just go there if you're not from here. But it was right, fun to have people actually like be interested, intrigued, and want to talk about these things. And I was like, you know, that's cool. I love whenever I get inspired for something. So I'm going to try to do, and we'll see what falls out with the menu, but I'm going to try to do a savory kind of a spicy chocolate drink of some sort.
I think that's
like Avery.
If you're rolling into the cooler weather.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, like something that warms you kind of, you know, inside out. That's
exactly perfect
timing. Right. Right.
And that may have to be the move. I may have to wait a menu refresh or two.
Wait one more.
Something like this is not going away. I really enjoyed drinking it. I think people are going to like it. I have drank probably 15 of these since I've gotten back. So I think it works. But
it's so cool, man. I love it. That's why I love having you on. It's just, I feel like I come away with something new every time, you know,
every time.
Yeah. And then I just want to, like, go at my bar. He like just go
yes.
I look forward to see what your mind is going to create and come up with each month, to see what new thing you, because it's never anything predictable. I love the way you think outside the box and what you put together.
I think that's, you know, like that's with the knowledge that you have. You can be adventurous like that and think outside the box and not make something that's gonna taste like hose water, you know?
Well, also you get the final product. Of those 15, there are probably 10 that I wouldn't give to a friend. But one of the things about making cocktails, and if you're gonna be doing it, you gotta drink some bad cocktails. I've definitely, you know, there's the honing in process that we like to talk about. We're like, oh, it's already good, but we're fine tuning it. But we don't usually talk about the whole like, nope, that didn't work. That wasn't good. And you're sitting there going, do I drink it or do I not drink it?
I know. It's so, doesn't it feel like sacrilege to just throw it down the drain? It's like,
absolutely.
That's how I felt about that shitty beer the other day.
Yep.
It's like, add the rum to it. It made it so drinkable. I was like, wow.
That's how I felt about my coffee. What was it? Coffee, vodka. What was that? It was horrible. It was awful. I had to throw it out. Peanut butter, coffee, something vodka.
Well, you had some kind of berry thing in with the coffee that didn't work.
Oh, right, right. It was like a berry flavored vodka with the coffee flavored something else. And then did I throw the peanut butter part in there?
No.
I don't know what I was thinking. It wasn't good.
It was so bad. Just hearing her read out what was in it was making me, it was like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And on that note, I am gonna, you know, I don't want my head to get too big. You know, I don't want my ego too inflated. So you sold me. Let me go grab something out of the fridge real quick. That was my last night experiment.
All right, you got 2 minutes. Go.
Oh wow.
All right.
So I'm loving the color of that wall, by the way. I love everyone's dark walls. I'm gonna have to make one.
I know, I'm like looking at my baby blue and I'm like, man, that's so dated. Yeah.
Looking at my beige.
So that color is Urbane Bronze. It won 2020's Color of the Year for Bear,
Love it. Somebody. I love that.
Yeah, color. Our interior designer picked it out. We don't have that good of taste. So. But it does. It looks really nice and it makes a good nice art wall.
Definitely. Yeah.
The two blue and pink pieces are a UK London artist, Joseph Neat. Fantastic, fantastic work. Very interesting individual. Please look up Joseph Neat. Hashtag no. So this is what happens when you try something. I thought that I could take the Bacardi pineapple, throw in some berries and some lime, and then carbonate it in my soda stream.
Oh no.
Yeah, it tastes exactly like I took Bacardi pineapples, put some berries in it, and added some carbonation.
It just sounds like a fruit punch.
Yeah, it was good. I was very proud of it. And then I took a couple sips of it. And it's not bad. But I had some friends try it and they told me that I can drink it.
Oh, that's funny. The lesson is, like, you know, you may come across some failures.
Yep.
But,
right.
You know, out of that, you will eventually find success. And I love Absolutely. that. And I love that. I think that's a perfect note to end this on. So
yes.
Thank you, Tyler, again.
Thank you so much.
Showing your
knowledge.
Thank
you, Tyler.
Always an amazing time. Thank you for giving me a reason to create some stuff that's off the wall and exciting. So
great.
Until next time. Cheers. And thanks for having me on.
Stay on, buddy. Next time.
Yeah. There, Jessie.
He drank way too much whiskey.
Like, never stop chasing your dreams.